Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
It was, I think, the beginning of September when El Salvador began accepting, not just accepting, but announcing that Bitcoin would be a legal tender.
I think it hasn't been in the news enough. I think it's like an odd thing that people have just kind of forgotten about it. But I'm not on Twitter.
It's been in the Bitcoin news.
Anymore.
It's been in the Bitcoin news. A story like that isn't going to get much more than a quick blurb in North American mainstream media.
Well, then, so how is it doing? Like, I know that it had a rough start.
Yes, it did. Their government wallet did not work correctly, which is what you would expect from anything that the government is behind, because government pretty much fails at everything that it tries to do. Honestly, I've not heard any updates since the first, say, 30 days. So I don't know if things have gotten better there with the government situation or not. We know that they have the ability to mandate that businesses accept Bitcoin. However, it may be that they are not actually mandating it on some businesses. For instance, you know, elderly people that might be, you know, running some sort of a small business that just aren't interested in having any kind of technology, you know, at their cash register.
Well, I'm interested in things like that. Like, are they going to mandate it? But I'm also interested, like, is the average person okay with this now? Because I know they were...
There were some protesters. Besides just buying Bitcoin, what the government gang there in El Salvador is doing is they're planning on starting a city that they're calling Bitcoin City. And here's the story from Coindesk.com. It's the only country in which Bitcoin is legal tender, although that probably will change in the next year,
like,
I suspect.
Brazil wants to do it, right?
I'm not sure.
You know, I was thinking Brazil too, but I feel like Brazil would not be the country that would want to go that direction because they're very socialist. And
if not Brazil, maybe Peru, but I think Brazil.
I think you're right. I think it was Brazil, but it seems odd to me because it's very, you know, most of the jobs are like government jobs that are in Brazil, I think, something like that. And it's held back significantly because of corruption and, you know, that basically.
So they're going to build an entire city, so they say, based on the largest cryptocurrency by market value, Bitcoin. President Nayib Bukele told a raucous crowd on Saturday night at a presentation at Bitcoin Week in El Salvador. Bitcoin City, as it will be called, apparently, will be located along the Gulf of Fonseca near a volcano. The government then plans on locating a power plant by the volcano to provide energy for both the city and Bitcoin mining, said the president. Now, why anyone would voluntarily move at the foot or the base of a volcano, I just don't understand. I mean, even if the property is dirt cheap, that seems really risky. Bitcoin City will be a full-fledged metropolis with residential and commercial areas, restaurants, an airport, as well as a port and rail service. The city will be laid out in a circle, like a coin, and in the city center will be a plaza that will be host to a huge Bitcoin symbol. The city will have no income, property, capital gains, or payroll taxes. So...
Well, and why is that?
Because I think they want to attract Bitcoin people there.
You know, it sounds fanciful to me, but I don't know. You know, it's like it's one of these things where it's like I don't think that's necessarily an impossible thing to occur. It's just that it would need to be privatized, right? It would all need to be done in private hands, not government coming in.
Right, because if it's government that decides what goes where, then it's going to be just an absolute mess.
Yeah.
It's going to be way more expensive, of course, than they're planning on it going to be, and it's going to just be a bureaucratic nightmare to try to, jump through whatever hoops you need to jump through to get a house built or get your business located there. So, you know, consider me pretty skeptical about about Bitcoin City. However, if they don't botch this up, if they do as you're suggesting, Chris, and they actually, you know, take their government hands off of this thing and let some private people somehow organize this thing, I don't know how that would look. My biggest critique of the special economic zone has been, well, how can you trust a government to honor its word?
You can't.
That's the whole idea behind the special economic zone is it's, oh, well, we're not going to have all the normal taxes on this one, you know, pot of land.
And I think that's a little less of a concern if it's the government's idea. Like in this case, it seems like that's what the president or whatever he is wants to do.
I mean, the problem is, what are they not telling you, right? Yeah. And that's, it's, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
And what happens when it's a different president?
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I mean, this is one of the things with these special economic zones. You migrate from one president to another, from one regime to another. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're good under one regime, but then the next regime comes in and then you're no longer good. And it's like, unless you have your own army to protect you, you know, your own defense forces, you know, you can't defend against the new regime.
They'll come in and take what they want.
If I was allowed to, you know, not pay taxes and have all my friends who were into crypto move to one place, I would pretty quickly want to start, you know, getting that kind of stuff together.
Defense, you mean? When you say that kind of stuff, what do you mean?
Yeah, like defense, security. Stuff like that. So, I mean, it would be a lot easier to do that without taxes in the way.
The president of El Salvador, Nayib Bukele, said that El Salvador plans on issuing, here's how they're going to fund this, a $1 billion Bitcoin bond, a tokenized financial instrument developed by Blockstream, which is a company that a lot of people have been critical of when it comes to their developments on the Bitcoin network. They're the people who've been promoting this. I'm not going to call it dead in the water, but less than, I would say, for at least to me, interesting Lightning Network. There's a lot of people.
Oh, those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, that's them. A lot of people are really into this Lightning Network thing, and it's still, in my opinion, isn't ready for prime time. And there's a lot of really good critiques of it, like that it's centralized.
It just seems so unnecessary.
And that it's unnecessary, and it's been taking years, and it's not even real Bitcoin. It's like off-chain transactions that are issued or dealt with by centralized entities, central servers. It enters into a lot of problems. But anyway, those are the people.
What hasn't been taking years and what doesn't have a whole lot of problems and doesn't have a lot of fees is just Bitcoin Cash.
Dash, Bitcoin Cash, Monero, so many options out there that exist and are easy to use, and you don't have to get any kind of crazy, you know, Lightning.
Yeah, I think Bitcoin Cash and Monero are probably the two that are like Bitcoin Cash, you know, it's accepted everywhere, and Monero for like, it, you know, the privacy aspect of it.
Mo said, based on Blockstream models predicting the price of Bitcoin. Okay, so that's
speculation. Okay, yeah. So they're speculating that it's going to be.
They're speculating specifically that it will hit $1 million within the next 5 years.
Oh, okay. I was thinking something totally different because Bitcoin's at like 55,000 Rand, I would say, and 140% of that is a lot less than a million. So, okay, they do have actual faith in Bitcoin going up.
They do.
I was a little confused.
And by using 500 million of the proceeds to buy Bitcoin and lock it up for 5 years, El Salvador is hoping that by taking so much of the cryptocurrency out of circulation for so long, that it will help to contribute to Bitcoin's price appreciation. Well, now let's be clear. $500 million of Bitcoin isn't really a whole lot of Bitcoin, right?
But, I mean, it's something that will be publicly known that it's locked down and it's still a big chunk. So maybe that will help, like, faith.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to hurt. Certainly the more Bitcoin there is in circulation, or the less Bitcoin there is, the fewer Bitcoin there are in circulation.
Yeah. There you go.
The more likely that the price will appreciate. So keeping the supply low in that particular case. But $500 million, you know, let's say they get them at $55,000 a piece. I mean, that's around 9,000 Bitcoin.
There's definitely a population out there that I think has a real hatred towards it.
Politicians and bankers.
Not real people bankers. Is why I said that.
I think there's people on the left that really hate it too, and I always find it interesting because it's like they read the it's almost like they read the headlines and then they just assume it's true, and it's like a lot of the stuff in the headlines is just not true.
Oh, you mean like the claim that Bitcoin's going to ruin the environment?
Yeah,
like
that claim? Yeah, particularly that claim. Yeah.
So stupid. When you can just be like, oh, there's, you know, airplanes out there flying people just to go visit their family so they don't have to drive. Not that I think that that's a problem, but when you can just be like, you know, asleep, not even caring about that, but then you think Bitcoin is going to destroy the environment, like you're just so easily tricked. Can't even describe it any other way.
And we're going to get into that because that, I think, ties into the story you're going to bring up here, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Sweden is actually the government gang there is actually talking about banning Bitcoin mining. And I had not heard this story, but when you brought it up before the show, I said, oh, is it because of the supposed environmental effects?
Well, yes. I would think the left would, the people on the left would support it, right?
Me too. But, which is why they're trying to undermine it with this attack, because, oh, it's going to hurt the environment. Yeah.
That's what it's been since, you know, they made Elon Musk take back his decision to accept Bitcoin or whatever it was. And then he said, oh, I'll take it when it's more environmentally friendly or whatever he said. Mm-hmm. That's been the entire MO of the media since Elon Musk made it, you know, jump in popularity recently.
Yeah, to me, this is the whole environmental thing just sounds like nonsense, because
it's nonsense. The total of Bitcoin, like as far as the amount of power that Bitcoin mining uses, actually lower. We looked this up a little while back. It was earlier this year. It is lower than the amount of power or, you know, energy consumed mining gold.
Mm.
And it's lower also than the amount of energy consumed running the banking system.
Right, of course.
And of course, we wouldn't need them all at the same time, so the banking system could just go away.
Shut that down instead.
The math that these people are doing to say it's environmentally harmful is actually misleading, because it's like,
of course it is.
It's not taking into account like the transact. It's not a per transaction cost. It was how much it costs to mine that Bitcoin, but they're then taking it like for every transaction. They're using that amount for every transaction, which isn't really how that works.
That's confusing.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I did pull up the numbers because I didn't have them in front of me in the last segment of just how much power does Bitcoin mining use as compared to the banking system? Because this is something I've always just said on the air, just figured out loud, like, calculate all the banking locations, every branch, every processing center.
Yeah, you don't need a whole building, you know, that has lights on all day.
And computers and lights and ATMs and, you know, you name it, all the, you know, all the people that they've got to have on life support or whatever, right? Like all these bankers that they have to, you know, have space for. They got to heat that space.
Just how many banks are in your own town?
Yes. And so it seems like it's almost impossible to calculate this number just because there's so many banks and so many places and so many people. But somebody took a crack at it. A report from Galaxy Digital, according to NASDAQ.com. You know, you've heard of NASDAQ, right?
NASDAQ.com.
They had a report that came out, and this was coming, let's see, May of this year. So this isn't old numbers. This is pretty recent. They've calculated the energy consumed by the Bitcoin network and compared it to other industries, including the banking industry. It found that Bitcoin consumes 113.89 terawatt hours of power every year, while the banking industry consumes 263.72. So the banking industry globally consumes more than twice what it costs to run the Bitcoin network.
So between April and August this year, the energy consumption of Bitcoin mining in the Nordic country rose several 100% and now consumes the equivalent of electricity of 200,000 households. So, and that's actually a good thing, because again, Sweden is one of the countries that has, not all of Sweden, but in the places that they're actually mining Bitcoin, they have excess electricity, it's cheap, and it's like renewable types of sources. So...
I will say this. It's not always true. For instance, there was a New York town that had like a hydroelectric dam, and they had a certain number of kilowatt hours or megawatt hours or whatever that dam would generate on a monthly basis.
Sure.
And somebody came in and set up a big Bitcoin mining operation in that town and gobbled up a ton of those, you know, hours, basically. And so what happens once they use all that up?
Yeah.
is the townspeople then have to go and buy the power from other power companies right. nearby and pay premiums for that. And so the townspeople were pissed about that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with that, though, is though that company isn't going to continue to mine Bitcoin there. And the reason for that is because the cost goes up, mm-hmm. right? So it kind of caps it, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So I do understand that the cost did go up as a result, but it's also true that they also ended up capping it. This kind of outcry is an open letter. The director of Sweden's top financial and environmental regulators called for an EU-wide ban on proof-of-work cryptocurrency mining. For Sweden to halt the establishment of new crypto mining operations and for companies that trade and invest in crypto assets to be prohibited from describing their business activities as environmentally sustainable.
Huh.
I mean,
wow.
I don't necessarily know that it's not environmentally sustainable. I mean, there's that all depends on, in theory, the source of the energy,
power.
Right?
Yeah.
So, if you are only operating, your mining rigs below a certain threshold in places like maybe hydro, where there's an excess mm-hmm. or an abundance of electricity, and you're only consuming what is not being needed, it shouldn't really be that environmentally unsustainable.
But you see, you had said earlier that Sweden is almost all sustainable, if not all sustainable, you know, natural types of energy.
Yeah, that's correct.
And that's not enough for these people.
I think I know what it is. It's just that they have their own currency. They want to, you know,
that's
stamp out crypto.
Yeah, yeah, they're not telling you that, but that's the underlying spot on right there.
Yeah, they don't even use the euro. They have krona.
I mean, we should expect this sort of stupidity from Europe. They are one of the most heavily regulated plots of land on the planet, right? Like, there's all kinds of dumb regulations and government programs in Europe. So if they move forward with this, we should point out it is not going to kill or hurt Bitcoin. All it's going to do is hurt those companies that set up mining operations within Europe. And I feel bad for them that happens to them. But Bitcoin ain't going down because of Europe.
this is what happens when countries do this, because we've already seen it with China. They just hop to another location.
That's right.
And in many cases, it's actually cheaper to operate somewhere else because they're still finding cheaper like sources of electricity, right?
Didn't the U.S. become the number one mining location after China?
Yeah, I think most of the mining rigs got shipped to the United States, but there are also other places. I think, like, I want to say Sweden, Iceland, some certain other countries that also have an abundance of renewable electricity.
Right. Wherever the cheapest power is, those are going.
Well, that's usually where the cheapest power is. So, yeah.
Maybe that's why Sweden is chosen to be the one coming down on Bitcoin first in Europe, because the governments together decided, oh, it's cheap to mine Bitcoin there, and from what you're saying, sounds like people like to do it there. So,
well, they haven't outlawed it yet, right? Like, it's just a proposal,
right? It's not even really that. It's this is basically an open letter by the regulator. So they're definitely gonna try and convince people.
Former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton has called on the Biden administration to regulate cryptocurrency markets. She warned that countries like Russia or China, as well as non-state actors, could manipulate all kinds of technology to their advantage and destabilize countries as well as the dollar as the world's reserve currency.
Wow, it's not usually the left that fear mongers about China.
I want to know how this is a bad thing. I mean, all you're doing is you're enabling the United States government to control every country and print money and spend it on wars and all sorts of stuff. And the United States is already, printing so much money that they're undermining the world economy. So I don't know. This doesn't necessarily sound like a bad thing to me.
Well, of course. I mean, it's only bad to people like Hillary Clinton. She's, of course, the former Democratic presidential candidate. She spoke in an interview with MSNBC this week, elaborated. So the last quote we played from her was her on a stage at like a Bloomberg conference. So this is a different interview with her. She elaborated on her crypto statement from last week and warned that the technology may be manipulated by countries like China and Russia to undermine the United States.
But isn't that kind of what's great about it? Everybody can manipulate it, right? Like, it's not,
but
I mean,
it can't be manipulated
to a degree, right?
Really? I mean, it's code. I mean,
it can... you can, you know, when you buy it, right? Even when you buy it, or, well, not you, Ian, because you're not allowed to buy it. But
you mean like affect it instead of manipulate.
When I buy it, right? It affects it, right?
Quote, the need to regulate the cryptocurrency markets, it's on the horizon that people are only beginning to pay attention to. Imagine, she said, the combination of social media, the algorithms that drive social media, the amassing of even larger sums of money through the control of certain cryptocurrency chains, she said.
This is fear-mongering best.
And she said, I just don't think we have much time. Now, that's an interesting statement.
Time for what?
Like, to get to regulating, to get to controlling this thing before it gets completely to destroy
their
system.
It's successful. It's working.
Yay. Yeah, that's what she's worried about.
Oh, man.
She says, I just don't think we have that much time, and therefore, I hope from everything I'm hearing from them that that's exactly what they're going to try to do. She's referring to the Biden administration.
Mm.
The former Secretary of State further noted, quote, we certainly need new rules for the information age because our current laws, our framework, it's just not adequate for what we are facing.
Yeah, they're trying to just use old laws that have to do with fiat currency and just apply them to crypto. It doesn't work like that. It's a different system, and they can't understand something like that.
If you're afraid of crypto, don't jump on the bandwagon, right?
Is she actually admitting that the system is going to fail? That they are desperate to do something about cryptocurrency? That she sees that cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash is providing people with a way out from the government money system? And she's scared about that? Is that what that means? Well, here's her final quote. Quote, what looks like a very interesting and somewhat exotic effort to literally mine new coins in order to trade with them has the potential for undermining currencies, for undermining the role of the dollar as the reserve currency, for destabilizing nations, perhaps starting with small ones, but going much larger. She said,
I mean, what does she mean by destabilizing nations?
I don't know, but it sounds great.
That's what she means. Nations is code word for governments.
Yeah, nations means governments. Absolutely.
Right. But like, I mean, okay, so not all governments, I mean, have their own currencies as it is,
no,
right?
No, and that's why El Salvador is going to be just fine.
Right. Like,
you know, they're not going to be undermined by Bitcoin.
So if a country is, if their currency is undermined and it's no longer worth anything, I guess if that's what that means, right?
I think so.
Then they don't exist anymore. I mean, El Salvador clearly still exists, right?
Well, because
and
you
so
don't
do
understand.
Plenty of other countries that, yeah.
She's saying nations, but she means the government goons that try to control the nations.
Kevin Helms writing from yesterday, Mexico's third richest man is telling people to buy Bitcoin as soon as they can.
Mm.
And further, it says the U.S. is looking increasingly like a third world country. Now, you want to talk about somebody telling it like it is. His name is Ricardo Salinas Pliego, and he is commenting on the U.S. economy and Bitcoin this week. He's the founder and chairman of Grupo Salinas, a group of companies with interest in telecommunications, media, financial services, and retail stores. According to Forbes' list of billionaires, his net worth is currently $14.2 billion. This guy is no slouch as far as his personal wealth is concerned.
$14 billion.
So he knows a thing or two about money, right? He tweeted a weekly chart of the total value of the Federal Reserve's assets, which was updated November 18th. It shows a total assets of the Federal Reserve Bank as more than $8.6 trillion. He tweeted out, quote, good old USA is looking more and more like any other irresponsible third world country. Wow, look at the scale of fake money creation. Buy Bitcoin right now.
Heck, what he tweeted.
Yeah.
And here's what this chart looks like. Let me see if I can describe this to you. It's a history of going from about 2004 to 2021. So roughly the last 16 or so years on this chart. It starts out with about just under $1 trillion worth of assets under the control of the Federal Reserve. Less than a year ago, it was like $4.5 trillion. So it's jumped up. It has doubled. The number of assets under the control of the Federal Reserve has doubled in the last year. And that...
What does that exactly mean? Just that they've printed that much?
No, they've printed more than that. But this is like what they have, their total assets presumably under their control. like whatever money they're moving around to banks and whatever other, you know, I'm not an expert on the Federal Reserve. There's way more than that in circulation, obviously, right? Because I don't know what the total amount of dollars in circulation is, but the amount of debt in the United States is around 28, coming up on $29 trillion.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, they just keep on spending and they keep on printing.
I remember in like the 90s, it was something like $2 trillion, and I was just always like amazed by that number. And especially considering how much it had grown, you know, like knowing what it had been previously and then what it had gotten, like how much it had actually grown to at that point. And it's like, if this problem isn't solved, this is going to become a real problem. And oh, what do you know? It actually has. It took 20 years, but it's an actual problem now.
It was solved.
How, what do you mean it was solved?
Satoshi Nakamoto.
Oh. Solved for the people. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're still printing the U.S. dollar, so I'm not sure it really solves the problem for, as far as the U.S. dollar is concerned, but yeah.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.